You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Last week, I shared a message with you. What do you see? What do you see? Because what we see will determine how we will respond, what we will say. God wants us not just to see it, but to walk in what He has planned for us. Amen? You know, many times people hold on to a promise, but all they are doing, they're holding on to a promise. It's like your uncle that put you in his will, in the testament. This is our testament, the New Testament and the Old Testament. And your uncle said, you've inherited R1 billion. Who of you would like R1 billion? Many Christians are walking around with a paper that says, you've got R1 billion, you are blessed. But all they're doing, they're just walking around with it and say, look what I've got, this is my promise, this is my promise. It's time to take that inheritance and start walking in it, claiming it and enjoying it. Amen? Not just saying it, but living it. To step into what God sees. Am I talking to the right people here? So today I want to talk to you about ordinary, you and me, doing the extraordinary. And many times we wait for the extraordinary and God says, just do the ordinary. Because what you do that seems ordinary in the natural has got an extraordinary effect in the spirit. Am I talking to the right people here today? In Deuteronomy, God says, I will bless the work of your hands. I will bless the work of your hands. In Psalm 91, verse 17, I shared it in the pre-service prayer. It says, the beauty of the Lord rests upon us, and may He establish the work of our hands. But God blesses the work of your hands. He blesses what you put your hands to. Many times we stand here and we say, God, bless me. Let the blessings come. Bless me, bless me, bless me. And God drops something in your heart to go and do, to put your hand against something or to touch something. But we're not doing anything. The kingdom of God is at hand. Go lay hands on the sick. What is it that God has told you to do to put your hands on? Because if you start doing it, start baking those biscuits and selling it, God can bless it. But if you just say, God, bless me, bring the biscuits, rain biscuits from heaven. Can I say with our children? Children are not born good. You have to train them to be good. Children are not born great. You have to train them and teach them how to be great. Train them to protect their hearts. Train them to walk in faith. Train them not to get their hearts contaminated. Because there are so many things in this world that wants to contaminate our children, not to reach their full potential. This is one of them. Cell phones. You know, there are certain countries now that are banning cell phones from school. Can I have an amen? I pray that our country will do the same. Because this thing has become a distraction. Filling your heart with nonsense. If we're teaching the pure word of God to you, and this bucket is being filled during the week with rubbish, sewage, and we throw out the sewage, Saturday night we throw it out, or Sunday morning we throw it out very early, and Sunday we come and say, fill me with pure water. It's still going to taste like sewage. You have to keep the water pure on the inside, Mondays to Saturdays. When you look at your children, what do you see, parents? Naughty children, or do you see the promises of God in their lives? Because if you're only focusing on the naughty, you're going to say naughty, you're going to treat them and behave as if they're only naughty. Double blink at me if you had a tough week with your kids. You know, you never tell them about your naughty stuff and your bad habits so that they would never do it, but they just do it because it's in the DNA. That's why you need Jesus' DNA on the inside of you. As God looks at you as a parent and sees the best in you, look at your children and see the best in them. Believe the best about them. And train them in the ways that they should go. That when they grow up, that they not depart from that. God looked at David, a shepherd, and saw in him a king. What do you see when you look at your kids? Looked at Daniel, a slave, and saw in him a leader. Looked at Moses, a murderer, and saw in him a deliverer. Then to the person that you say, what do you see when you look at people? God looked at Hannah, a woman that was barren, and saw in her one of the greatest prophets that walked this planet. At Abraham, who was fatherless, and saw in him a great nation. Am I talking to the right people here? Looked at Saul, somebody that was persecuting the church, and saw in him Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Looked at Esther, an orphan, and saw in her a queen. Am I talking to the right people here? What are you looking at? What do you see? God is looking at us. He's looking for ordinary people. The Bible says the Spirit of God moves to and fro all over the earth, looking for those where he could show himself strong on their behalf. Who? Those with a loyal heart. Turn to the person next to you and say, have a loyal heart towards God. If God is looking for you to show himself strong on your behalf, what is your excuse? What is your excuse? God wants to do extraordinary things in our lives. But we say, God, you just do it. God says, I'm waiting for you to take a step in the right direction. Family, listen to me. You're not only made in God's image and in his likeness, but God breathed his spirit into you. A matter of fact, when you go read Psalm 8, Bible reading program right now, when you read Psalm 8 in the New King James, it says, he has made us a little lower than the angels. The Passion Translation says, Elohim. Elohim is God Most High. You are made a little lower than God himself. That means you should be behaving like God, walking like God, talking like God, because that's what God planned for you right from the beginning. To be like him, made in his image, made in his likeness. You were never designed to be a sinner. Turn to the person next to you, give them your best saintly smile and say, you were never designed to be a sinner. You were designed to be a saint, holy, to be filled with the presence of God, to walk with God, talk with God, to plan with God. You know, we can have no excuse one day. Matter of fact, the Bible says you're not just made like him in his image. Not only has he put his spirit on the inside of you, but the Passion Translation says it so nicely. It says, you've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. Let me see who of you have got a bad past that tried to harm you. Come on, be honest. You're not born saints. I know that. God says, I'm here to protect you from your past. But many of us are holding on to our past. You're allowing your past to become your identity. Say, let it go. Let it go. I can see that singing anointing wants to come on some of you and say, let it go. Let it go. You have to let it go. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you followed behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Family, you like to quote Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You can actually walk in it. Because you are made in God's image. You have the Holy Spirit with you. You have the presence of God that's gone before you. But you're going to have to let go. Not only does God hold your future in his hands, He's let go of your past. And if we are looking back the whole time, we cannot move forward. God has planned great things for us in 2026. And if you want to run in 2026 for God, you're going to have to let go of the hurts and the pain and the disappointments of 2025. Amen? There's only one of you. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are very unique. A matter of fact, there's nobody like you. There's only one person that can do what you can do, and that's you. You have to be the best you. The best you. That's the question I ask myself as a pastor. Am I being the best me? Ask myself, to be a better husband, what needs to change? To be a better father, what needs to change? To be a better pastor, what needs to change? Say, God, help me so that I can change. And most of the time, to change and become a better version of yourself, you have to let go of the past. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know it. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entire new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Turn to the person next to you and say, your past is over. Turn to the person on the other side and say, your past is over. So listen to me. All those past things that you used to do over December holidays, it's not happening this December because it's over. Faith does not take a break. Many people think of just December, I'm going to take a bit of a break. Faith does not take a break. You remain in faith. Amen? You remain holding on to Jesus. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to Himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. Family, listen to me. When you reach up to God, you're reconciled to Him. You are clothed with Christ, and all the old things have passed away. Then God will reach in and start touching and changing your heart so that you can go out and share this message of reconciliation with others. Let me hear you say, reach up, reach in, reach out. Amen. When God approves of you, you know the best is yet to come. Then when you do ordinary things, it will have an extraordinary impact in the Spirit. You can just greet somebody in the power of the Holy Spirit and bring hope into their lives. Lift their spirits. Walk into work and everybody is frowning and you're the one walking with a smile. Hello, good morning, good morning, good morning. And you're handing out smiles, but the Holy Spirit affects those smiles and brings hope and joy into people's lives. Will you be the person with a difference? One instruction in righteousness can change your life. So I want to share a message with you, a scripture. We're busy with a Bible reading program. Who of you are busy with a Bible reading program? Let me see. Wow, what a challenge. Amen. 20 chapters in the morning, 20 chapters at night. Read through your Bible in 1 month. Amen. It's like the Word of God exploding on the inside. Have you ever read during this time a scripture that you've read so many times in your reading, you say, was this always here, Lord? I had one of those scriptures, 2 Kings 3, verse 14, just go there. And this blessed me so much, and I want this scripture to bless you. The king of Israel and Judah and Obed, they're planning to go make war against the Moabites. They go out and move, and suddenly there's no water. They don't have water for themselves or their animals, and they're in a crisis. And they say, is there any prophet here that can just help us and give us instruction in righteousness and what to do? And Elisha is called. The background of the story, verse 14. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Let me just say this. Family, listen to me. There are sometimes key destiny people in your life that can change everything. Elisha is saying, listen, I'm not here for the king of Israel. The reason why I'm helping is because of the king of Judah. Have you got people like that in your life that will stand with you and help you through whatever? Key destiny relationships. In a church, there are many of those. When you're linked up with the right people, you'll see what God will do. It says, but because of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played. The spirit of worship is the spirit of Jesus. It's the spirit of prophecy. That the hand of the Lord came upon him and he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Then to the person next to you go, huh? When I read this, I said, what? These guys have got a crisis. They need water. And yet he comes, he says, make some ditches. Go get a spade and dig a hole. And I was thinking, I said, God, you busy here with serious stuff, want to do a miracle, and you're telling them, dig ditches. And I thought, how many of us have missed our extraordinary because we're not prepared to dig a ditch? Am I talking to the right people here? We're saying, God, do the extraordinary. And the instruction is, just do something ordinary. And we go, huh? A ditch? God, can you be serious? We've got a water crisis. The animals are going to die. We are going to die. The army is going to die. Everybody's going to die. There's no water. I hope I'm talking to some people's hearts here. Because sometimes we're looking for the big extraordinary there, and God says, do the ordinary. Many times it's doing the ordinary that gives you the extraordinary. Just being kind. Let's talk about marriages. Just doing the ordinary, being kind, loving, caring, helping every day in your home as a spouse. Ordinary things will give you an extraordinary marriage. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Just coming to church, ordinary, every Sunday, praying, ordinary, every day, seems ordinary, has an extraordinary effect in the spirit. Amen. The best that comes to us is when the ordinary become faithful with that which seems ordinary, then God will do something extraordinary. Go to verse 17. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see a wind. It won't be, nor see any rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. Listen to the next verse. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites in your hand. Family, listen to me. Here it is. When I read this, I thought it's so impactful. He's saying, you are asking me for water for the animals that you should not die. I'm saying dig the ditches, the trenches, and I'm going to fill them with water. Not only are what you are doing here, digging, going to save your life, but it's going to give you victory over your enemy, the Moabites. Wow. Give the Lord a hand. You know what happened? That ordinary thing, spade in the hand. When it was filled with water in the mornings, the Moabites came out and they looked into the valley and the sun fell on the water and they thought, it's blood. The kings have killed each other. The armies have killed. Let's quickly go and just plunder them. And they got up there confident thinking, oh, we're just going to plunder them. And they walked right into the armies and there they are waiting for them and they destroyed the enemy. Ordinary things have an extraordinary effect in the spirit. And I'm thinking, how many ordinary things have God asked people to do something extraordinary in their lives, and they're not doing it? Just be an usher, come and help. Just be a car park, come and help. Just help in the kitchen, clean up. That's too ordinary. Other people can do that. It's not for me. I'm above that. I'm not there at that level. Am I talking to the right people here? It's always obedience before the blessing. Always obedience before the blessing. Get a spade, get your hands dirty, and dig a ditch. Sometimes that thing that you've been doing unto the Lord faithfully is the very thing that God will use to do something extraordinary in your life. Are you doing it with a happy heart? A sincere heart? Stop saying it's impossible when God says it's simple. We live in a world where the church is educated beyond our obedience. We know everything. And what we don't know, we just ChatGTP. Chat? Hello, chat? Tell me. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. What I want to say is, ordinary people, trusting God for extraordinary things, God can give you the victory by digging trenches. He gave a widow the victory in a house with an empty jar. The thing that you are looking at that you think is the problem, my jar is empty, there's no oil. Am I talking to the right people here? Who needs some oil? She said to the man of God, Elisha, she said, listen, my husband feared God, he served God, and he's dead. I'm in debt, there's problems. They're coming to take my son. They're going to sell them and use them as slaves. Can you help? She's looking at him to bring help from the outside. What does he say? What have you got in your house? What is in your hand that you can put your hand to that God can bless? Come on, family. He says, go get that jar. One is not going to do it. Ask your friends and everybody and bring all the empty jars. And God's going to fill all of them. Ordinary to extraordinary. You mean just a jar? And you're just going to pour it? It's not going to rain from heaven, God? No. One step of obedience in the right direction. She's looking at a miracle outside. And God says, the miracle is in the house. Turn to the person next to you and say, the miracle's in the house. Can I just say, stop making excuses and start asking God, what is it that's in my house, that's in my hand, that you can use for a miracle? You know, Gideon even made excuses. The Lord comes to him and says, mighty man of valor. He's actually saying, hey, you ordinary dude, I'm ready to do something extraordinary in your life. What does he say to God? He says, you say that you're with me. Where's the miracles? He says, you want to see a miracle, Gideon? Take a step in the right direction. Gideon did not see what God was seeing. He did not see a mighty man of valor, but he believed God to take a step in the right direction. Many times because of what we see, we never take a step in that direction. He said, okay, God, let me go and do it. He takes a step. I've shared many times in this building project how God's word is a lamp unto your feet. If you don't take the next step, the light cannot move. The light cannot move. The light, a lamp unto my feet was lamps that they put on their feet when they walked at night. So it's only when you walked that the light would move. So many of us are like this. Make me move, God. Well, unless you do it, I'm not moving. God says, come. Go read Genesis. It says, I cannot do anything until you get there. Turn to the person next to you and say, I think you're going to have to make a move. So that thing that God has placed in your heart, that promise, and you waiting for God to bring the promise to you. He says, no, you take a step into the promised land. Because when God is with you, who can be against you? Am I talking to the right people here? We want God to do something extraordinary, but we, the ordinary, are not making a move. It's when the super comes upon the natural that we see the supernatural. You know, God will often ask us to do things which does not make sense. I'm not saying doing crazy, funny things. It will line up with the word of God, but sometimes it will not make sense to you. Gideon, mighty man of valor, let's go. Then 22,000 people pitch up. And God says, you want to see a miracle. You said, if I'm with you, there's miracles. Okay, let's do it with 300. I'd rather have 300 people backed by heaven, filled with the Holy Spirit, go into a war than 22,000. That's not with God. Gideon, you obey me? We'll do it with 300. Elisha says, this is a small matter for God. Sometimes we make a big storm out of something, and all that it is a storm in a teacup. Naaman getting healed. It wasn't in the water. It was in the obedience. Am I talking to the right people here? Sometimes we say, if I can just go there and get oil there, or I can get water there, it's going to be fine. If you put your trust in oil, it's not in the oil. Because if it was in the oil, every time you made fetkook, your problem would be solved. Every time you fried fish, your problems would be solved. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's not in the oil. This oil, when it's blessed in Jesus' name, faith in the name of Jesus has made this man whole. It's your faith in this. If your faith is in the oil, which is meant to be a blessing, will become a curse, because then you trust in the, I need the oil, I just need the oil from that altar. It's not in the oil, Naaman, it's not in the water. It's in the obedience. There's always obedience before there's a blessing. Then the ordinary starts doing extraordinary things. You know, sometimes to move from ordinary to extraordinary, dig a ditch. A what? Dig a ditch. Ordinary to extraordinary, go find the empty jar. You mean the one with no oil? Go get it. Bring it. Doesn't make sense. But that's how God works. Because what seems ordinary in the natural will have an extraordinary effect in the spirit. I'm going to close with this. Sometimes you sit with two fish and five loaves, and you have to feed 5,000 people. Am I talking to the right people? You've got 50 accounts to pay. People have sent you the invoices and they're calling you, better pay. And only three of your clients have paid you. Am I talking to the right business people here? That's when you need God to put what you've got in the hands of God and see how two fish and five loaves multiplies. Amen? It's in the obedience. So the question we have to ask to move from ordinary to extraordinary, what's the one thing that God has asked you to do? The ditch that you have to dig, or the empty jar that you are holding on to that God has asked for. What is that thing? Because it's in that obedience that the blessing lies. I want to walk in that. On Thursday night, I challenged the people. I said, we've all got talents and gifts. Am I right? Who of you know you've got 5 talents? Who of you know you've got 4 talents? Who of you are happy with your 1 talent? Okay, I want to talk to the 1 talent people right now. Amen. I want to talk to the 1 talent people. What are you doing with your 1 talent? What are you doing with that 1 talent? That 1 talent can be money. It can be a gift that God has given you. But let's say the talents for me as a pastor, the talents that God has given me, are you the people? And talents that God has given you, the people around you. And he's saying, reach out to them and multiply them. That's what we have to do. I've said it to the youth pastors. I've said it to the children's church pastors. I've said it to the pastors. I said, the people that God gives us, those are the talents. Those are the most precious things. Because the money I cannot take with me. My gift of prophecy, the Bible says, is going to disappear. But the one thing that will remain is love. Am I talking to the right people here? That means when I go to heaven, what's the purest and the most beautiful worship that I can give God. When I get to heaven and I stand before Him to worship Him, to say, oh, my Father, look, five people that didn't know You that are now serving You and worshiping You. 10 people, 100 people. Am I talking to the right people here? What are you doing with that gift? Say, God, I might be an ordinary person. You know, Andrew in the Bible was an ordinary man. There's no book of Andrew. There's no sermon recorded of Andrew. There's no place, anything of Andrew. But you know who Andrew brought to Jesus? Peter. And you know who Peter was? Peter was the rock. Peter is the one who got up at Pentecost and preached a sermon. Peter is the one who wrote 2 books. Am I talking to the right people here? You might be an Andrew, but you are the link to the Peter to bring it to Jesus. I want you to go and ask God, who is the person that I should reach out to? Because family, at the end of the day, listen to me. The only proof of your faith, which is the only thing that pleases God, is your obedience. It's your obedience. Not to say, God, I'm going to obey when it suits me. But when God speaks to us to obey, when He says, dig a ditch, let's dig a ditch. Some of you, God has been talking to you to become an usher, to become a hostess, to help in the coffee shop, to help with the children's church, whatever. Don't wait anymore. Amen? Put your hand to it and do it. Amen? God wants to do extraordinary things. When the ordinary starts to obey, God can do extraordinary things. And you think you're just digging a ditch to bring water to the animals, to the people around you. And God says, through this obedience, I'm going to bring victory into your life over your enemies. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.